I'll go ahead and call us to order a regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jess, would you pull that closed?
Thank you.
Next is public comment. This comment period is for the public to address or address topics on today's agenda. Not see anybody moving towards the mic. And I don't think there's any minutes in here, so we'll have to wait on those for next week. Consideration of personnel actions.
I'd move approval.
Second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Personnel actions are approved. Agency reports. DHS, Pat Penning.
Hi, Pat.
Thank you. Green light on? You're good.
Okay, I emailed the report, so we'll just kind of go through that real quickly. Not really much new for staff here.
Is the light on?
I was wrong. It was not on. My mistake. Current staff in Story County are 31. We've had a little bit of change. The numbers stayed the same, but we've had some people come and some people go, retirements, et cetera. But we're staying pretty stable with our staff. I think we've, since I was here last, I think there are two new assessment workers that were transferred in that we're able to fill. Group care numbers stay fairly stable throughout our service area. Numbers I probably from last year are a little bit down, which is a positive for us that kids aren't having to go into group care. You'll see the DCAT report that Caitlin has completed, as she does each time I come. Family team meetings are going well. We're really working right now on trying to increase our capacity for youth dream teams or youth. Well, it's a dream team. It's got some longer name than that. But really focusing on our transition kids as they're nearing the age of 18 so that they can have a positive start as they move into the adult world. And we're doing that actually service area-wide. Biggest, I think we're having some challenge within our Medicaid, our income maintenance, and our Medicaid throughout, well, probably throughout the state. Right now, we're working mightily on the Affordable Care Act applications. I think right now we have, statewide, we're working on a backlog of like 12,000, but we're waiting for those to come from the federal hub, which is 23,000 for the state. So when those come in, we'll be working very hard as a group, actually, across the state. Everybody's kind of working together, sharing those applications to try to get them all done within a reasonable time frame so that people can get what they need. The book I gave you is actually a kids count book, and even though it's from 2012, it is the most recent book. But if you go through this, I highlighted a couple things, and you can certainly keep those and look at them at your leisure. Look on page 4. You can kind of see from, does some comparisons between the years of 2000 and 2012, and you can see Story County and how it plays out. And it kind of shows the percentages of a lot of different information in here. So you can see for Story County in 2000, the rate per thousand of child abuse neglect was 4.2. And in 2012, it's 13. So you can see how some of those numbers are going up within this county. And it does have, it goes through WIC, child deaths, not everything that has to do with the Department of Human Services, child poverty, but you can kind of see where your county fits in with other counties in the state as well. So it is a really good set of information just for to see, you can see how your county is doing in a variety of things. So I thought it would be a useful tool for you to have available. It talks about school lunch eligibility, all kinds of things in here. So it's a good set of information for you to have at your.
I have one question on this, and maybe it's not one you can answer, but Pat, please forgive me. It's just the way I see the world. So on page 5, child abuse and neglect, It has the 2,000 child population for Story County as 15,248.
Hmm.
Okay? And then if you flip to page 9, under child poverty, it has the 2,000 child population for Story County as 14,653. Those kind of things drive me nuts if I don't understand them. So,
and I don't have an answer for you on why those would be different. Because they both are 0 to 17 when you try to compare if they're looking at something different.
Yeah, I was looking for an age breakdown. I mean, there's got to be a reason, but I would just like to understand those. Thanks.
Yeah, because the age breakdown is 0 to 17. It says that at the top of both of them. So I couldn't answer that either. But I would agree with you. Those types of discrepancies make you wonder about their data sources.
Well, and so then when I'm supposed to take that and use a rate per thousand, but yeah, thanks.
Do you have any questions for me?
No.
Okay.
Is the new phone system in for you guys? Do you know that?
I believe it is, yes.
Have you heard anything about it?
No, so that must mean it's working well.
Okay, that'll be good. That's a good thing.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Next is Tricia Crane from the Arc of Story County.
I saw you the other night.
Thank you. This past year has been a very good year for the Arc of Story County, our members, and our athletes. Much of the credit is due to our committed and involved board of directors. Active Lifestyles, our special recreation program, is thriving this year in large part from the funding we receive through Story County. Last year, the funding source was not available to us, and we are thankful for the additional activities and record number of athletes we are able to serve when the appropriate funding is in place. Last summer, we were able to offer nightly activities to all of our participants. We added disc golf, walking, bicycling, kickball, and sand volleyball. We had a game night at Hickory Grove, took in an iCubs game, toured Raymond Gardens, and hosted our annual fall barbecue. Due to the growth in our programs and the number of athletes we are serving, we have added an additional coordinator to our budget for the next fiscal year. This is the logical step in the growth of our organization. People with disabilities in Story County have grown to know the Active Lifestyles program as a safe, social, and healthy activity to which they can participate and grow. The respite program gives parents or the primary in-home care provider a much-needed break or respite. 6 years ago, the ARC changed how we provided respite. Instead of the ARC directly providing the respite, family chose who they wanted their caregiver to be, and the ARC reimburses the family. However, the respite rate never changed to reflect this change in service provision. We added a fourth service this year to reflect the work the ARC does to coordinate respite services and funding for families, thus significantly decreasing our respite rate so we can provide additional funding to families. To date, we have already spent the allotted respite dollars for this fiscal year through our county and city dollars. The ARC is working to increase our advocacy efforts. We now publish a quarterly newsletter with valuable information for our members. In May, we are hosting a legislative evening with our state area representatives for our members and participants to ask questions and get more informed about decisions made at the state level of government. March is National Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month, and we have several public service announcements airing on KHOI Radio. We are very grateful for the support of the important work we do on behalf of people with disabilities and their families. We have and will continue to provide great advocacy on behalf of people with disabilities in Story County, provide information, and be a point of reference for families and the community. That's it.
Outstanding. I'd like to check out, I think I heard you say that you guys have used 100% of the dollars that were allocated for respite. I'd like to see, now as we're transitioning into the regional system, I'd like to see how a request like that is going to flow. Trish, I'd like you guys to consider going ahead and requesting additional funding yet this year, because I'm not clear, Paul, and maybe you are, whether that request now is going to flow through our asset process or it's going to flow straight to the regional board. And if it does flow through the asset process, it doesn't come through us anymore. It goes straight to the regional board. I know the region has some extra dollars there. I don't know what their intents are for those dollars, but it seems to me that if you guys can make a really sound case for why additional dollars are appropriate this year, it'd be worth it for all of us to understand what the process is going to be going forward.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is that it goes through the asset process. We got in a glitch with the county last year. Deb well, it was in August when I started billing for the new fiscal year, and she realized that we were still billing at this exorbitant rate, which was exorbitant, and however, it was approved.
Huh.
You know, that we were billing for around $36 per hour, but only reimbursing families about $14 to $15 an hour, because that's what they were directly reimbursing their care provider for. And so she wanted us to go back and redo all of our billing, and but our budget was based off of those inflated numbers that had been
right.
approved. So that's why we went back and, you know, changed things and are able to provide a lot more respite this next fiscal year than we ever have been before, since we really decreased our respite rate just for the service coordination part that we're doing.
Well, and my hope is that the region is going to continue to use the asset process. I just don't know that anything formal has been decided like that out of the region.
I haven't heard any discussion of any of it. I would assume Trish is right that it would still go, you would still go through the asset process.
Oh, yes. I mean, we already have so far.
Recommend it to the
region. Okay.
All right. Trish, thanks.
Thank you. I just want to mention I went to the casino night for the ARC
yes.
the other night. And,
yes.
I have twin daughters, and one of them has some disabilities. She nominated her twin sister for a Super Sibling Award and received that award.
Standing.
Saturday night. So. And my wife was snowed in a basketball tournament in Carroll. So.
We still had a wonderful turnout, despite, I mean, I try not to think about what a fabulous turnout we would have had despite the weather, but we still did very well.
Sure. So. Thank you.
Thanks.
In large part to assigned basketball of Melvin. I'm not a
Melvin
Iowa State fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really sure
you're
hot colors, Trish and Ice. So,
pardon me?
And Fred Hoiberg.
And Fred Hoiberg.
The coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know he's the coach.
I don't see Julie Weeks here. I bet she's got something else.
You think she's got today. Something going on today? Get out and vote. Anybody who's listening to this that lives in Ames that hasn't voted yet.
Looks like we have all items on our consent agenda.
I'd move approval of the consent agenda.
I'll second that. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Consent agenda is approved. No public hearing or additional items. I don't even see Joe.
He's coming.
Yeah, he's late.
He's here today. Okay.
He sent us that nice email, right?
We will go with Drew Camp. Take your time, Drew. We're way ahead of schedule. God, can you tell if somebody's missing today? Just throwing that out there. I'm just saying.
Or Wayne.
My name is Drew Camp, and I'm the Director of Story County Community Outreach for the Ames Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Commission. I wanted to start with our new move to the Chamber office on 304 Main Street. We really, really like our new Main Street facade and front door to the office, and the new space has given us lots of new areas to do really cool things with. And you can't see exactly what are on all those pictures, but there's 14 of them. And from the top left to right, it's Gilbert, Roland, McCallsburg, Ziering, Slater, Story City Administration Building, Huxley, Collins, Kelly, Maxwell, Story City, then that's Colo, Cambridge, and Sheldahl. So we were able to get all of the communities, including Huxley and Story City, that we do marketing for at the Chamber, up on the wall. And a lot of people have thought that's a really cool thing. It's up the back stairwell as you come up, and it's just really, it draws a lot of attention to it. There's a lot of natural light coming in from some windows, so we've gotten some good compliments on that, and we really like the new space. And anyone that would want to come down for a tour is more than welcome, and I'd be happy to give them one. I've also been able to, with the help of some of my colleagues, our communications director predominantly, was able to get some information up on the website, the AADC website. It's really important that this did get up on the site, because the website has 18,728 visitors since January 1st, which averages 297 per day. So the fact that we've been able to get community profiles up for each of the 11 communities on the website means that they can have a lot. Let's see here. Of course. There we go. Okay. So that we've been able to do some very nice things. We have like community information, as you can see, and then there's you can visit the city's website, and then there's demographics, with the population from the census, education, financial institutions, and leading employers. And there's one of those for each of the 11 communities. So like I said, with the traffic the website gets, that's a huge promotion and visibility piece for each of those communities. And each of them has been pretty happy that we were able to get up this information for them and do that marketing aspect for them. And another marketing piece that I've really been happy with that we've been able to do for each of the 11 communities is with Location One Information Services. And that allows you to list sites and buildings in each of the communities. And I'll just, for an example, I'll open up the one for the Colo Business Park. And okay, this is just a one-page brochure, but you can see the information it provides. And this is really critical for site selectors, IEDA, and businesses throughout the nation, because one of my colleagues told me that she got a call randomly from someone in, I think it was Missouri, and they had seen a listing that we had put on Lois and they wanted more information about it. So, and I know for a fact that I know Roland has things up for their business part too. They've received questions and interest from individuals just because they go to this site, and IEDA looks at this when they're looking to see where would be a good location to possibly call about, you know, if they have a major agricultural project or anything coming down the pipe there in Des Moines. So that has been a very important piece that I've been able to do as well. And a lot of the communities have been really pleased that I've actually been able to refer some things to them. IEDA, you know, calls us up and says they have this project, or a business says they are looking to maybe move outside of the city limits. So I've been able to refer to multiple communities to see if they have space for a location. None of them have been able to follow through except one time when I was able to put a proposal. It's just sometimes the specifics are very restrictive and limiting as to who in fact can submit proposals. But I'm confident that as they more and more keep coming, more especially over the last couple months have been coming in. So I'm hoping that one will stick a lot here eventually, and I'm confident that it will. Okay. And one of the big things, I kind of discussed it the first time I presented to the board, is information dissemination and improving access to critical resources. One of the biggest things I do is the communities, I'll go to council meetings, I'll have a call, get a call from one of the mayors or the clerks, and they need funding they need funding for some project that they want to do on Main Street, or to build a new building, or to plant some trees. So the ones that I refer to them the most are the ones that are highlighted up there. And a lot of people don't realize that there are the big private funds out there too. Prairie Meadows is a huge mechanism for these communities with their community betterment grant program, and also Alliant Energy and the local cooperatives. I know Collins, for example, has used...
Oh, he's been using this stuff a lot.
Yeah, but the cooperatives especially too, Heartland Cooperative there, he's gotten some funding from them for local projects, and it's a lot of communities don't know that that's out there, so it's important to bring that to their attention. And other things I've been able to do are, you know, best practices. Sometimes, like in Kelly, I gave them some information about retention ponds and things like that that are a little less expensive to fix some of their water issues, because they really need to try to improve their water infrastructure in that town, as well as in a lot of the towns throughout the county. And the state revolving fund is really helpful with that, because they have low interest loans for water projects. Moving into some of my responsibilities at the Chamber, the Workforce Initiative has been a massive undertaking for the Chamber since about a year now. I think it was Dan that came up with it back in the spring and made Angela Davidson, my colleague, the Director of Workforce Development. And since then, we've really, really hit the ground running and expanded rapidly. We've done career fairs and student events at Iowa State to promote our WorkingAIMS.com job board, which is a free program that has about 800 jobs on it usually. It's been up and running for about a year. The See Yourself in AIMS intern program, which really promotes staying in Story County after your education at Iowa State University, DMAC, wherever you may be going, and also educating students about the AIMS Chamber, what we do, and what we have to offer as a community and county. And a huge undertaking that we took up a couple months ago, probably in about October, September, reacting from data from Ron Hallenbeck's business climate surveys, we heard that the workforce availability and the skills gap was huge. So we actively went out, promoted businesses, went talked to high school administrators, teachers, counselors at all of the community school districts throughout the county. And we've actually have the businesses and DMAC and the high schools working together to teach students what they need to know, what the jobs are that are out there, and then DMAC can come in and say, this is how you get there. And DMAC has been a great partner. Kim Landuska has been awesome getting us in the contact with the pathway navigators and the individuals at DMAC that we need to be in contact with to make this a success. And we've already had career fairs at Colonesco back in February. There was 36 businesses that came to that. We didn't recruit all of them. The girls at the school did a great job recruiting too, but we were happy that companies like Barilla, Ag Leader, DuPont, Dan Foss, Mary Greeley, large companies are Story Construction, are interested and they want to know more about this, and it's been great moving forward, and the buy-in has really, really been a good thing to see. Another major project that I individually am working on is with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, and it's called the Iowa Retail Initiative. And we're working with five communities. We're doing community visioning in the communities of Slater and Collins, and then we're working with five businesses, two in Gilbert, Consignment Gallery and J.B. Knacker, the Collins Wellness Center, Reed and Island Corner in Colo, and then also Moose on the Loose in Huxley. And it's been great because it brings these resources from Iowa State at a minimal cost. We're talking $100 or less to these communities to get this analysis that they would otherwise be paying a lot of money for. And so far, the faculty and the students and myself have been very happy with the progress that's been made. And the community and business leaders have really bought in and appreciated the services that we've been providing them. And then another thing that I was able to do about 2 weeks ago is I met with an individual. Like I said, water infrastructure is a huge issue for these communities. And the Energy Independence Partners, they're out of Indianola. And he came up and gave me a presentation, one of their engineers, and walked me through the products they have for wastewater and water treatment. And one of the cool things is they're on the back end of the process and they're modular. So as in demand increases, you can just continue to add to it. Or if EPA comes out with more stringent standards, mechanisms can be put in place to easily get up to those standards at a cost and speed that's a lot less than other products. So what I'm trying to do is to get all the wastewater treatment and all the wastewater superintendents from the county to sit down and listen to him and see if that is in fact something that would work well for their communities and is a feasible option. And another thing that I've been doing is getting out to the businesses in Story County. I've already been to Syngenta and met with Chris Klein, their site manager of the Slater facility, and then also with Ann Peterson, the head of HR at Innovative Lighting. And these meetings are very important because they allow me to learn what I can be doing to help them, and I've already been able to help Ann on multiple fronts, Syngenta a couple on some smaller things, but then I'm hoping that you can see a list up there to get into a few other businesses in the communities I'm working with, and then to go from there and continue to just provide the services that I know that they tell me they need, however big or small they may be. So as you can see, the marketing efforts and the outreach efforts that I've been able to perform so far in the last couple months have been very productive, and we're seeing very real benefits in each of the communities. And I'm confident that as time goes on, that those results will continue and hopefully expand with time. And with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them or clarify anything.
This is what we were looking for.
Drew, you're doing a great job. I think we're so appreciative. I think there was recognition among the three of us when we bit this thing off and decided to seek entering into a contract that the first year was really going to be about some foundational things. We've said all along that we don't view Story County government's role as being the primary player in economic development in the county, but we do think we have some role in assisting some of these smaller communities, leading a horse to water, if you will. And I think you're doing a great job of that. I'm really, really appreciative of where we are, and I'm excited to see where this is going to go in the future.
Thank you.
And I hear good things from all the mayors that I talk to, and that's to get a positive feedback from all the mayors is quite a feat. Yeah, I'm sure you're probably aware of that. But
they're all good guys, and I've really liked working with all of them, and I think they've really realized that we can accomplish quite a bit if we work together instead of being at odds with each other. So.
Yep. Next big task, as I see it, is to make sure that we're fully integrated with that Story County Economic Development Group, which I think is undergoing the possibility of some fundamental changes now. And please just keep us posted on that as we work through it.
Okay, I'll do that. And Dan wishes he could be here, but he got called to a meeting that he couldn't miss in Johnston, so he couldn't be here today, but he wishes he could be.
Tell him to make sure he votes today.
I think he already has.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I didn't see Joe Quaker come in, but stuck in the elevator. Okay. Liaison assignments. Rick?
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything yet. Public forum number two. Go ahead, Loris. We got time.
Loris Olson, and I just wanted to follow up on the comment that Rick, you made to Tricia about the asset funding, and it was just a clarification. Is ARC doing mental health respite care now, or just disability funding? Because, see, that's the difference, right, is just the region's doing mental health. So just
sure, absolutely.
So it may be just something to follow up on.
Announcements from the supervisors.
I don't have anything.
I don't either. Wayne's in D.C. at the NACO legislative conference. That's why he's absent today. So,
Tyler, come up and get started for us.
All right. do you have the... Yes, right
here. Okay. Yeah, I got the USB if you need it. Yeah, I don't know how to...
How to just do the slide.
Okay. All right, Joe should be on his way, but he's never on time. This is just a quick run through. We had a meeting a while back, but I think Joe was sick for that, and I wasn't around either. So this is November through present, I guess. November, we had an IRVM planning meeting in Perry. Right now, the whole IRVM organization as a whole is getting together, and we're actually rewriting all our original county plans. And it's the hope that this will help us with the Iowa DOT and funding for the LRTF grants. So we're putting a lot of effort into that, and rewriting our whole county plan to include some of the stuff that in the original county plan wasn't in, as in the drainage district program and how we developed that. We spent a lot of time working on Grant 5's open ditch in November. We had some seasonal staff hours to burn out, so me and him spent a lot of time in the ditch chainsawing.
Good morning.
Hey, Joe.
How are you doing, Tyler?
He's doing great.
All right. Job. Well, I had to make a call to Finco. Good morning, board.
Good morning.
Looks like we're doing November. Go ahead, Tyler. So, go ahead. We did a little promotional stuff working with the roadside office out of UNI, and this is something that they came up with to kind of promote the program statewide. And you may remember that last year, well, this fiscal year, I did put in for a Living Roadway Trust Fund grant to do a sign. It won't look like this. It'll be one with a picture on it and some prairie and stuff like that. But, you know, we're just trying to get our name out there. We pushed it pretty hard back in the day and kind of have run under the radar for a while now. But it's time to, you know, let people know we're here. We seated up to the last minute. Yeah. Pretty cold. The hydro seeder froze up, so we stopped. And... waited for it to thaw out. We cleaned it up, and it's going to be a while before we get out again, but we're looking forward. We're just about caught up with the road department on what they've done, so we feel pretty good about that.
Hey, it'll be March before we know it.
There you go. Whoop. All right.
It is March.
Dakin's Lake, we did a little bit with the staff, Mike's staff up there, more technical support, setting the drills up, ordering seed. And then when it came to the hydro seeder and doing some of the, like those, I guess you call them stockpiles of soil. We if you didn't, if you were up there, you saw that we mulched those. And we also seeded the interior of the lake as far as we could. And I think we got a slide here with Tyler. Hydropelling off the side.
Where is this?
That's the Skunk River. No, that I don't. I think that's out west.
I would think,
Rick. But that's right. Me holding the rope for Tyler, and that was just a funny. So Waterloo, we did a program called what was it called?
The War on Invasives.
The War on Invasives, and it went over really well. Trying to control some of these plants around here. That took some time. Keep going. There you have it. December, we still mulched right up that first week in December. It got real cold, and we shut it down, started cleaning seed. And you're going to see some slides of what we did in the shop. We did have some seasonal staff stay on through the winter, through Christmas, and we'll show you some of these pictures. You need to stop out and see. But, you know, we built the shop 5 years ago. We really haven't had a chance to hang the tools up, but it really makes a difference. We're a little more organized. You see the new tractor. I don't know if you guys have seen the tractor yet, but there you are. We got our little stereo in the corner so we can dance, do the two-step. Hanging up the tools instead of tripping over them. I'll let Tyler talk about all the drainage ditch stuff.
Well, this one's from a long time ago. This is the one we actually got done in July, August. They're just some before and after pictures. You might have seen them once or twice before, but we're just going over the projects that this is what they look like before, and this is what we've been doing. It's Boone Story 1 over by Kelly. Grant 5 just south of 30 over here. This is how far we've got to Grant 5, and we're halfway done, and we've already went through the money, but we're keeping on going and getting this project done hopefully by spring.
You know where you're at on here, Paul? Can you kind of figure out the map?
This is the contract that Fenco did for us. This is the Grant 13, the one over by 35. And this is Hamilton Story 1. They're about half done with this project. Right now we're trying to burn as much of these piles as we can. Last week we went out, and one of our oldest piles was not burning whatsoever. So we're going to have to wait a little bit for the wood to cure before we can get fire going on some of these. We're trying to push buffer strips on our open ditches, but we're having a little bit of difficulties with that. You want to go through that?
With the new Farm Bill, CRP sign-ups on hold. Yep. But they will do some information gathering. So hopefully when it does all come together, we can get something done. But it looks like it's not going to fall in sync with planting. It's going to be after that. So, but, you know, we're still making progress.
Right now we're working on our plan for FY15 so we can get into Scott what we're going to do next year and what we need money for. We're also looking at some other contract projects that we can get moving with come spring and talk to Fenco and get some estimates out.
Oh, yeah. I found a new combine in a museum for sale.
This is not it.
No, this is number two. I'm going to go look at it. We have some nonprofit funding to buy it for us if we go that route. Been doing a little bit of safety stuff. This is Tyler working on his truck outside the engineer's building with that.
Just before he rappelled.
A lot of safety stuff. We've been hitting that pretty hard. I think we're done with it for a while, but... And then on the horizon, obviously, the burning of the brush piles, buffer strips. It may thaw out sometime. We'll get some burning done. I'm sure you'll see some smoke plumes up in the next, you know, 6 weeks. We need to get some seasonal staff hired and get some Labor and Roadway Trust Fund grants finalized, the hydro seeder possibly, some seed, things like that. And before you know it, we'll be in here in 3 months telling you about all the weeds we're spraying.
Outstanding.
Yep. Cheers.
Nice job.
Thanks, guys.
Questions?
I'm good.
Tyler did a fine job.
Absolutely.
Might have been a little nervous in the beginning, but he got it.
when we told him he had to set up the computer on his own, he really started sweating.
Okay, that takes us right down to adjournment.
Nope. 15.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
closed session. Jessica Reynolds.
Hi, Jess.
Good morning. Pursuant to Iowa Code Section 20.17, the Story County Attorney's Office respectfully requests that the board vote to go into closed session to discuss strategy in union negotiation matters.
I would move that we go into closed session.
I'll second that. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. We will take 5 minutes and then go into closed session. Ready? Okay, we are back in open session.
I'd move approval of tentative agreement between Story County and PPME, Secondary Road Department.
I'll second that. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. We've got a tentative agreement.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we can go for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
All righty. Liz, I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back. It's easier than I thought. What?
Really?
Yeah. I have not shed a tear. I think it's because it's my third. I don't know. And